Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on the tipping culture in the U.S. and much, much more. DJ, what's good word, my guy?
Well, the finals are all done. Life is kind of good, so I can't complain at that, you know? I'm the type of person, I admit, when I was in high school, I was real, like, all A's or else. Like, as I got into college, I'm like, all right, a little more leniency. A's and B's is the expectation. So as long as we're in the A to B range and the GPA is around that 3.3, I'm not complaining.
Listen, man, as long as you ain't pulling no C's, man, that's all that matters, man, boy. That's all that matters.
Right.
I always say this with people. I think when you're in high school, everybody's like striving to have like a damn 4.0 GPA. Then by the time you get to college, you realize, I mean, it don't really kind of matter really what your GPA is. No one's going. I'll tell you one thing, DJ, when I used to interview people, I didn't look at their damn GPA. I just confirmed that they had a degree.
Right.
I based everything off of their soft and people skills. So at the end of the day, man, that's really what matters.
Well, and that's kind of why it's like I lightened it up, because, you know, when you're applying to college, the GPA and all that's has a bigger role, and like your SAT scores and all that. Yeah, this time around, it's like all it is the paper. Yeah, I mean, once I say I completed college, I did it. That's all I really need. And then it's all the experience, like you said, the people skills and all that's more important now. So that's why I'm like, as long as it's A's and B's, just for my own, you know, sanity in a way, I'm good.
And now you can, you know, focus your time on fam and your coverage and things of that nature. So, man, I'm happy for you. And also, too, man, let's just be honest, man. This has been a rough year for you, man. And I'm just glad you made it through.
Amen to that.
And you know what they always say. I'm not going to try to preach here, but I believe this statement that I'm going to say, man. They always say that, you know, tough times don't last, but tough people do, man. And I feel like, man, some of the battles that I've, you know, that I don't even know the half. Like, I mean, you shared some things with me, but my thing is, man, you've gone through this and you've been a champ about it, man. So, you know, just continue. Just know that there's people out here, man, that's pushing and pulling for you, man, and rooting for you and your fam. So
I appreciate that, man.
Yes, sir. So I don't know, man. This it's been a weird, I would say, week and a half for me, man. I'm not even home right now. I'm down in New Orleans. I have the game in Baton Rouge this weekend, but the draft, bro, I was down there for that. And I think I had told you, I was like, I don't like covering the drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather just be at the team facility. And I think going forward, that's going to be my move, because you get stuck with all these TikTokers. And I don't know how these folks get credentialed. I really don't, you know, and it's just annoying. It's annoying because it gives a bad name to independent folks, right? And they already look at you if you're not affiliated with a newspaper, or you're not affiliated with TV or radio. They're already looking at you like, oh, well, why are you here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got these fucking TikTokers that come in here. They don't care about what we care about. They don't care about, like, the game and what this person's going to do in the fit. All they care about is getting that viral moment where they could throw it on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just disgusting. I can't stand it.
Yeah, no, it definitely is one of those things, because I had my fair share of that at the WNBA draft when I went there, and you see them and they just want to get the people and do the dances and stuff. And it's like, it's not the same journalism. And I'm like, honestly, it's not journalism. And it's just kind of like, it's taking up away from, like you said, independent people and the smaller outlets, like the ones we're doing and the stuff we're doing. And it's just, it doesn't help anybody, you know? Like you said, if we're not attached to some, you know, one of those notable four-letter networks or one of them bigger things, like, it is kind of irritating. And I really don't appreciate the landscape, but it's just like, you know, you got to put up with what you deal with, in a sense. But I will admit, like, the whole TikTok thing, it does irritate me.
Super irritating. I wish they would have fucking gotten rid of that shit, to be honest with you. But, you know, they had to give your boy Trump a win, because he can then now say, I saved TikTok. You know, that would be another thing these dumbass black people be like, not only did he give us a stimulus, man, but he saved TikTok, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Biden didn't do it. They won't get rid of it.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because I remember when the whole thing happened and it all lasted all of 12 hours. And I was like, I hate the fact that someone's going to attribute this to Tim, like, oh, he saved TikTok. And I was like, that's going to be so annoying when you hear that. And like you said, just like that stimulus check, I'm like, here we go again.
Yep. I'm telling you, man, these Negroes are, they are very predictable, very predictable, which is why we're in the situation that we're in right now. But anyway, I was speaking about the NFL draft and DJ, that the subject that everybody's been talking about and has also been in our mentions here and in our inbox, people want to know, why did Shedeur Sanders fall to the fifth round? So I'm gonna defer to you, DJ.
I have friends whose parents who watch sports and they don't, or whatever, but everybody's like, anybody in my like circle who knows I'm a sports journalist is like, oh, what does DJ think? Honestly, I tell you this, people. I firmly believe there's a couple different factors to this. Like, because somebody tried to explain it, like, oh, just because he's confident. And I'm like, it's not as simple as that, in my opinion. Granted, the confidence did play a part. I will say this, though. If he wasn't a black quarterback and he was that confident, I don't think it would have hurt him as much as they're making it out to be. Because I remember Sauce Gardner had, he came out with all confidence and the air, no one cared. So being a quarterback, that definitely, a black quarterback at that played a part in it. Especially the black quarterback part too. On the other part of Dion says this stuff and just sitting there with his kid and everybody's mad at him. Archie Manning did the exact same thing with Eli and no one seems to care right now. Very strange to me. I will admit though too, and I've seen this and I call it the Mac Jones effect. Not that Shador is Mac Jones by no stretch of the imagination, but Prez, do you remember when Mac Jones came out from Alabama? And like he had Najee Harris in his backfield and Devonta Smith and Jalen
Oh yeah,
Waddle.
he had everything.
He had everything, but they were trying to be like, oh, he's got the talent. But realistically, it's the talent around him. I've watched people kind of do that where they're talking about Travis Hunter, like he's the only person attributed to that whole team's success. I get it. He's amazing, generational talent. He won the Heisman for a reason. But like Shedeur Sanders won the Johnny Unitas like Golden Arm Award. Like, let's not act like he's not an award-winning QB. Like, but the way they're talking about it is like, because like when they got their jerseys retired, and everybody's like, well, Travis deserves it, but well, Shedeur. I'm like, there's two people on offense. Like, someone's got to throw him the ball. He deserves some sort of credit here. And I've watched them like use like Travis to discredit him as well, which is why then when you have the confidence, why they're like, well, you're being overly confident when you're not even that good. I think he's that good, but they've kind of attributed his success to Travis Hunter and are taking away from him. And then on top of you're confident and you're black playing quarterback, one of the leadership positions. So now that's a whole issue because I've seen a couple other guys who talk smack from different positions. And to them, no one ever, like, not that they necessarily like it, but they just kind of don't knock it because, like, well, you're not leading my team. You're just doing your job elsewhere, kind of thing. I've noticed that. And so between that, and I tell people, as people who've gone to the NFL combine, I said, you also got to remember there's all these meetings behind closed doors and all this stuff that we don't see. So there's also a world where I don't know what Shador could have said or done in those meetings that also could have not helped his case already that they're building against him. Like he was blackballed, don't get me wrong, but something he definitely probably said in those meetings didn't help his case either.
So I'll say this. I'm going a different direction with it. So I was at the combine, as you know, and I was there when he answered the questions in his typical manner that he answers questions. He's very matter of fact. Someone said, "Hey, what's a team going to get from a guy like you?" And he basically said, "If you're not looking for a guy that's going to change your culture, if you're not looking for a guy that's going to move the needle and it's going to change your program up, then don't come get me." Right. And at the time, I looked at him and I was like, I love that. It's a great answer. It was again, to the point you mentioned confident. It was a confident answer, but it's also showing you a guy that's basically saying, like, look at my track record. Look at what I did before. He talked about at the combine what he did at Jackson State and how he moved up to the Power Five level and what he was able to do in those 2 years. Right. So for me, the Shedeur Sanders that I saw at the combine was just the guy that I thought was just confident in his abilities. And what team doesn't want a guy that's confident, right? And so for me, to the point you made, DJ, we don't know what happened in those meetings that he had with the teams, right? We hear all these rumors that come out, but we also know that when the draft comes, they call it lying season because these teams, they throw little smear out there because they try to throw people off the scent of who they actually want. And then they'll throw rumors out there about people. So for me, when I saw this stuff about Shedeur, I'm like, okay. At one point, Shedeur was considered to go number two or even number three in this draft. No later than to the Saints at nine. So when the Saints passed up on him, then I'm thinking, oh, well, shit, there's a lot of teams here that don't really need quarterbacks that's coming up. Then I'm like, oh, maybe the Steelers are getting him. And then the Steelers passed up on him.
That was the one that shocked me.
So yeah, so to that point though, when he fell out of the first round, that's what in that moment when I realized, I said, oh, this is that Colin Kaepernick shit. But I'm not comparing the two, but what I'm saying when I by saying that is these motherfucking GMs and these owners, they came together and they're like, we need to teach this family a lesson. So to the point that you mentioned about Dion, Dion did say that there were certain teams that he didn't want his son to play for. He's gone on record in saying that. There's even an old tweet of his that he was talking shit about the Cleveland Browns, and it's interesting now the Cleveland Browns drafted his son, but it's no different to the point that you mentioned with Arch Manning. And he didn't want Eli playing on the West Coast and basically told those West Coast teams, don't draft him. And then the Giants drafted Eli. And at the time, DJ, I would say this, people did feel some kind of way about it, but it got swept under the rug. It's not like how this thing turned into all this backlash where you tried to embarrass this kid. Now, again, now there's a couple different things at play here. And let's just keep it a buck. We got the color component. You already touched on that. But I want people to just hear me out real quick on this. Why is it a bad thing when a black player or a black person in this world is confident? Why do they get the terms of they're arrogant or they're uppity? Because I hear like that kind of shit, and I'm just kind of like, damn, we can't be confident. Well, would you want us to have our head like down at the ground and nobody knows type of mentality and vibes like we used to be? It's like, no, you know, we have overcome. It's no more we shall overcome. And I don't think that they want that for us.
No.
And I got another thing to say. These folks coming after Deion Sanders. What did Deion Sanders do to y'all?
Literally.
This is a man that doesn't, he's not in trouble. He's not in any headlines. And for what I hear from a lot of his students is these people, they talk about him being a father figure to them. That it's more than just about what you could do for him as a football player. He wants these kids to be great in their communities. He wants these kids to get a degree. The work that he's done with Jimmy Horn, if you guys don't know Jimmy Horn Jr.'s story, Google it. Deion Sanders served as a father figure for him. Same thing with Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter's father was incarcerated. See, that's the thing is like, man, these people, when they want to spread this stuff and they want to say, oh, Deion, he came in and he talking about he got a luggage and it's Louis. And I see y'all getting distracted and y'all worried about the wrong things. That's his confidence and his bravado. He's just kind of coming in and setting the tone. That ain't no different than Ben Johnson when he took the job in Chicago and he came in and set the tone. Everybody that comes into a new situation, you want to put your stamp on it. So there's no different for Dion versus whoever else takes over a new position. But back to my original point, why is it guys like Deion Sanders, LaVar Ball, LeBron James, why is it that what they do as fathers is so heavily criticized? I just want you guys to think about that for a second. You got three brothers that's out here trying to do what's in the best interest of their children. Isn't that what you're supposed to do as a father or as a parent? So what's wrong with him doing that? What's wrong with those three gentlemen doing that? Why do they get so much fucking hate for trying to make sure that their kids are in a good spot? We should all want to do that for our children. But you know what, those DJ? We know the reason why there's that hate. We know the reason why the goalpost gets moved for them. We know. Them folks ain't done nothing to nobody. And so my bigger question here with this whole situation is, as black fathers, I feel like they're damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't. Because if you do all these things, and if you are in your child's life and you try to influence your child and you try to make sure that they're in a good spot, then you're basically talked down on. But then if you're not there, then they can be like, well, that's about right.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose.
Yeah. And so in this situation right here, what they did to Shador was dirty. It's dirty.
Oh, extremely. That's why I'm glad you mentioned Kaepernick, because it's a blackballing the same way, in a different stance. Like, I mean, the situations aren't the exact same, but at the end of the day, they both got blackballed.
And if you're going to sit up here and tell me that this kid is not a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel, that he's not a better quarterback than Jackson Dart, like the Cam Ward one, I got. I always had
Yeah,
Shador
that
in
was
this
the
draft
only one.
as the number two quarterback, in my opinion. But when I'm seeing all these quarterbacks coming off the board, and I'm like, okay, y'all playing in this boy's face now. Like, this is insane.
Yeah, the one the Saints picked, Tyler, like Stowe, that was the one too. And I was
Slow,
like, slow,
slow.
yeah, that was the one. I said, yeah, we're really. I was like, oh, they're really doing something. Like that's when it really. I was like, yeah, we're really just playing right now.
Now, when he fell out of the first round, I was like, yeah, they trying to teach you a lesson. They trying to teach you a lesson. And my thing was, I was also kind of glad that at that moment, he kind of turned his back to the cameras because, you know, they kept
Yeah.
going to the home and showing the shots. I was like, no, you don't need to be having that camera all up in that man's face, like right now. And that bothered me too, because when I saw the ratings for day two and day three of the draft, I'm like, that's insane. They ain't never had them type of ratings day two and day three. And
Nope.
it's because people wanted to see if he's gonna continue to keep falling, and there was people that wanted to see him get drafted. So you have both of those people all colliding there for that day two and that day three. So this is my thing though. Why is there so much hatred towards Shedeur Sanders? It's not like he killed his buddy on the golf cart.
Yeah, no, the hate, I never understood. I remember even when they first got to Colorado and the Jackson State, like something about almost like how you said, like something about like black men being confident in sports, like makes people angry and like makes people mad. I mean, Dion long ago said like the prime time moniker, it's really just that's what he does. Like that's just his personality and him, you know, kind of the it's almost like I compare it to in a sense, like how Muhammad Ali used to do the stuff to get, you know, get entertained, like part of the entertainment and the factor, like, but people get so fed up in that, like they get mad. But I'm also like, that's kind of like when he does the primetime thing, like the part of that with Colorado was the bringing that there to help that program build. Because you got to think with him showing up and Dion does the stuff and he when he gets the confidence and he says like the, yeah, like you said, the badge to Louis and whatever, they're on national TV playing now. They're winning games. Like that's what you got Dion for. And for some reason, people get so mad at that. And I don't understand what he's doing that's bothering. Like, what is making y'all in your soul so angry at this man when he's doing nothing but just being himself, being confident, and playing football. Like I coaching football. I same with Shador, just playing. I don't understand why it gets people so riled up. He scores a touchdown, all he does is flash his watch, and it drives people insane. I can't understand why. Like I know why, but it's like I don't see why that bothers y'all so much.
It shouldn't. Johnny Manziel, he used to do the
Oh, yeah,
money.
the money thing. Oh my goodness, I was thinking
They
about
and guess
Johnny
what?
Manziel.
And guess what? They couldn't get enough of it. They loved
Right.
it. And my thing is, Johnny Manziel was drafted in the first round.
He won a Heisman for that mess.
Well, don't get me started on that.
Yeah,
But my greater point is so one cocky is cool, but the other cocky isn't. I don't get it. But I tell you one thing, if I'm Shador, if he didn't have a chip on his shoulder before that draft, I'd have a giant one on my shoulder right now.
I was thinking the same. That chip gotta be the size of Mount Everest after that.
Bruh. Them folks played in your face, bruh.
Well, then
Played in your
also,
face.
when you think about Cleveland, like just be this real quick, he can definitely win that job. I mean,
Potentially. I mean,
in this,
Flacco's there. I mean, Flacco,
yeah,
he can still throw that pill. But I
but
think to your point, he's in a situation where he's got a shot, right?
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because like besides Flacco, I'm pretty sure if I'm not mistaken, like Watson's still injured and is gonna miss most of 25. So after that, I'm like, it's kind of fair game too. So I was like, I really hope he gets in there, and when he gets his shot, like he pr makes everybody regret doing that to him.
No, he will. I think though the bigger point here with this situation though is, I want people when they're having these debates with their friends about this situation, just remember this story. Remember the story of a Colin Kaepernick. And also remember people like Jay-Z, right? At one point, Jay-Z was on the side of a Colin Kaepernick, and then he sold him out because he wanted to do business with the NFL. We got to realize though, sometimes we are our, honestly, I say this all the time, DJ, we are our worst enemy. And some of our own people are the main people that's piling on Shador right now. When I heard Chris Carter run his fucking stupid fucking coke mouth, talking shit about Shador and saying, oh, well, you know, he doesn't have talent and basically, you know, his interviews were really poor and this and that. I'm like, okay, Chris, what about when you were in the league and you were half high all the time and failing all these drug tests? You didn't want people slandering you, right? Why are you gonna do that to a young kid? He don't have none of this shit going on in his past like you got. See, that's what that's my problem is like, first of all, our people, we the ones to be doing that. We got all these skeletons in our closet, but we so quick to sit up here and say, well, somebody else, they ain't this and they ain't that. Well, you ain't that. Yeah, you a Hall of Fame player, but dude, you got some skeletons in your closet, Chris. Be very careful how you come off and saying things. The same thing with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is over there running his mouth about Shador. And you know what, Cam? You the last somebody that could be out here running your mouth. Yeah, you had an all right career. Why you didn't fucking go get why you didn't go cover that fucking fumble in the Super Bowl? You over here talking to somebody? This Cam Newton was built like a freaking tight end. And that man was scared to get in that fucking fray to get that damn fumble. Lost his team the Super Bowl. And he got something to say. See, that's what I'm saying. It be your own people. We supposed to be the ones that's rallying around this kid, man. Come on, man. Shador ain't do nothing. He deserve that.
Not at all.
They tried to humble that kid. And guess what? You know what he did? When he got drafted, you didn't see him all pouting and upset. They celebrated. Because you know what, DJ and audience? They don't need the NFL. They winning regardless.
Not right.
That's his dream. He wanted to play in the NFL, but guess what? He ain't tripping first round, sixth round, seventh round. Guess what? He bets on himself in this situation. And guess what? He can get to the bag a lot quicker now.
Yeah. Now he definitely will. I'm excited to see how this goes, though. I can't lie. But it is definitely, like you said, it'd be your own people. And it's a
Own
shame.
damn people. Your own damn people. Cam Newton. Man, I swear to God, bro. And I don't care, man. Y'all send him what I said. I don't care. Because I know Cam be listening to like what he quote unquote calls the smaller podcast and whatnot. Yeah, listen, bro. Prayers don't scare easily. I ain't worried about you. He be doing all that goofy talking and Charleston White cooked his ass on his own show, bro. You a soft and you a sucker, bro. Don't do that shit to us. Come on, man. You played in the league. You're supposed to be the one that's got your arm around him. You're supposed to be mentoring him, making sure he's good. I'm sure somebody did that to you when you first came in the league. And Ken, and it's another thing. Just like I said with Chris Carter. Chris Carter got all those skeletons in his closet. Cam Newton, there was no NIL, bro, when you came up and you got accused of taking all that money. Come on, bro. What was you and Cecil doing in Auburn? Why you want to talk? See, that's the
Oh.
thing, bro. Stop worrying about what other people are doing and let people live. That's all I got on that one. What we got on these mailbag questions? I know these people, they excited, DJ, because we open this shit back up again.
Well, all right, so the first one's from James. All right, question, here it goes, here it goes. All right. Been with my lady for almost 2 years and we recently moved in together. I do so much to show her that I love her, but despite those efforts, it never seems to be enough. He says, "Why are women so hard to please?"
DJ, you want to take a stab at this one first?
I admit as a 20-year-old man who ain't had much experience dating. I don't know how to attack this question. I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to think of like how to approach this because,
Well, I mean, you got female friends, you.
yeah. Cause I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying. I will admit though, and I've always said this about these mailbag questions. I really wish we could bring people on to interview them if for context. Cause I'm almost like, but what are you like? What is the? I'm doing everything because because there's two sides to every story. So. I feel this is where he's saying, like, I'm doing all I can, but then he might not be doing as much as he's letting on in this thing. I can't lie. I hate to be that guy, James, but I'm really questioning, like, what is the I do so much? Because he didn't give, like, he gave me some examples. I think I'd be like, okay, but he's like, I do so much. And so I'm like, like, I feel like that's one of the things you better ask her what she need. I feel like, if anything, like, I don't know if I can help you with that, but I feel like personally, I don't find it like hard to please anybody, but I'm also just real stubborn. So when they're like, I don't know, they get mad at me, I'm just like, whatever. Like, I try my best and I don't care. So I feel like I've said a whole lot of nothing, but it's just
Yeah,
like.
that was a whole nothing burger. And I think somebody's gonna probably say, well, DJ, that's probably why you're not having success with the ladies. You might want to put a little bit more effort
No,
into
right.
meeting them halfway. But what I would say is, James, if you telling us that you're doing, all the things you can to show her, I'll take you at your word. I'm not gonna call you out on that. But what I will say is, that's a tough one, right? Because you guys been together for 2 years, recently moved in together. That's a big step. And I always tell people, and especially friends of mine, that when they make that next step, and when they're all dating, and you're in your own place, and they're in their own space, and you guys spend up maybe a couple of days a week together, life is great. But shit gets real when y'all combining a living situation together, right? That means every little thing about that person now is magnified. So maybe some things that you could be like, ah, that doesn't bother me that much when they don't live with you, right? Because their ass is going home. But now y'all living together, so shit magnifies. So I just feel like what he's going through right now, it just seems typical. It seems like it's a situation where now they're really being tested, right? This is like the situation to see, like, hey, are they compatible? Is this something that has long-term potential? Like, should we take that next step, right? I would just say this, my man, hang in there, because I've seen it, and I would tell you that the good men out here are losing, and the ones that's out here that don't really give a damn, and they can take it or leave it type of mentality, them the dudes was winning. But stay true to your principles, man, and if your woman, and this is if you're doing all these things you're telling us to do, right? Because like DJ said, there are two sides to a story. However, I'm going to just take you on your word on this. But I will say, if this situation don't work out, it ain't the end of the world, man. Like, come on, James, bruh. Remember who you are. You a king, bruh. Come on now. Prayers believe in you. Like, it don't work out, man. Somebody else out there. Because what I always say is, you need to find that person that's going to appreciate things that you're doing. Because if somebody's taking you for granted, male or female, then that ain't a good look. I wouldn't want to be taken for granted, and I wouldn't take somebody else for granted, right? Because nobody owes you anything. And so if somebody's doing these things that make you feel special, and doing these things that make you feel good and all this other kind of stuff, then it should be reciprocated, it should be acknowledged, it should be recognized. So if she's not doing those things, I'd have that conversation. Like, what's up? But I do know that there are some women out there that it is kind of impossible to please them. There's women out there that they want the house, they want the marriage, they want the kids, they want the dog, they want vacations, they want a vacation house, they want all these things. And then when they get these things, they'll still find something else that they want. Then they want new windows. Oh, we should do a conversion of the house. We should do this. It's never enough. So I know what he's going with that.
I just thought of the Kendrick Lamar song. My brain was like, "It's not enough," and I just started laughing to
No, because
myself.
for real, straight
No,
up.
you're not wrong though. I know people like that. I think because that's why I'm like, why? I guess that's why I'm like when I saw plays, I'm like, I don't know. Because to me, like, what I feel like if I do something for you and you're just like you don't care, then it's like, all right, well, I'm not doing nothing else for you. Like, I'm not gonna keep. Like, I'm. Yeah, I mean, I admit, I'm in a place in life where it's like. Keep that same energy. Like, if you're not gonna be appreciative, then it's like, all right, well, then what's the point of me doing all this for you if you're not gonna be grateful for it? Like, and I guess like I've never been in a relationship long enough or like any type of thing long enough to be kind of like, well, now I gotta stay and make it work because it if it falls apart long enough, I'm like, all right, well, like I gave it my all. And like to me, like James, if you're giving it your all and your best, and she's not appreciating that, like you gotta go to bed knowing that you gave it your all, and clearly this might not be it. Like if that's the case, and there's gotta be someone out there who's gonna appreciate for all you're putting down, honestly.
Yeah, and I hope y'all renting, because that straight up. I
Hope
hope
y'all.
y'all renting.
That was
What
funny.
we got next?
All right. Next one's from Lindsay. Lindsay says, my son graduated from college a few years ago, but still lives at home with my husband and I. We're at the point where we feel like it's time for him to be independent and move out on his own. I brought this up with him, and he got really upset and said that he should be able to stay as long as he wants at the house. How do we phrase this conversation so it's received better, is what Lindsay's asking.
Oof. Well, I'm gonna take this one first.
All right.
So, Lindsay, this is one of those situations where I definitely agree with DJ about more backstory. So, a couple years ago, is your son a normal college age? Is he older? Right? Because there's sometimes there's some people that they may stay in school a little longer, right? And they might be closer to 30 maybe when they come out. So let's just assume that this kid is like, I'll just throw a number out there. He's 23 years old. All right. So in this situation, if this is your son is 23 and you're ready for him to get out of the house, ain't nothing wrong with that. You had done your part. You got him through college. I'm sure he had probably been working, so he should have been putting money away. I'm sure you guys aren't charging him any damn bills around there. So at my point, what 23, 24-year-old person want to still be living under their parents' roof, bro? The first moment I was able to get out of the crib, Lindsay, I was gone. Never turned back. For real. And so my thing is, I think the conversation is a simple one. It's, hey, your dad and I are always going to be here for you, but we're not doing you any favors by enabling you. That's enabling. I'm sorry. Like, Lindsay, I don't know, what background you are, but there was this movie Baby Boy. He sounded like he got a little baby boy in him. I should be able to stay as long as I want? The fuck? The fuck?
No, that part had me crying. In a world though where he's not paying any bills, he's a few years from graduating. He's already graduated college a few years down. He should have a job. I'm gonna assume that like he has a job. I hope so. Maybe like I'm with the press. I already got an apartment. Like the way I itched for independence that I really am curious, like, what makes him want to stay and, like, why he has no motivation to leave. But then also, it's like, I feel like you said you brought it up and he got upset. Like, unless you full blown yelled at him, like, you got 30 days to get up out of here, I don't understand how you can phrase it any better besides, like, it's time for you to get out the nest and fly and go on your own. Like, I don't know how much more polite you could really put it.
He sounds entitled.
He do. He definitely do. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, as long as I want that. It's giving entitlement. Like, because that was insane work. I'd stay as long as I want. Even if you can't, like, why?
Why would you want to?
I feel like the natural order of things, it just from my perspective, it's like you move out, and then when your parents get old enough, they move in with you.
That's right. That's
Like,
right. That's how it works.
that so I'm like, why are you, like, this is the part where you're supposed to go leave the nest. Like, what are we doing? Like, why, as long as I want, I can't lie. That made me laugh a little because I'm just like, what do you mean? As long as why would you want to think? Like, there's my other thing I thought about. Like, he ain't got no girl or nothing. Like,
Boom. Talk to him, DJ.
sir, you don't want no place to yourself where you could go do whatever you want. Like, come
DJ
on
cooking,
now.
y'all.
I'm
DJ
just come.
cooking, though.
Hey, like, come on now. Like, how weird is that gonna be? Have one night stand or do something? Now you have to shuffle out the door past your parents. I don't think you want to do that, gang. Like,
Nah,
I feel like you want your
nah.
own spot. What are we doing? Like,
DJ, see that DJ cooking because yeah, you can't be sneaking work in the house with mom and dad in the crib. Come on, man.
now,
Lindsay, I
sneaking
know
it past
you.
your friends a little weird, but it's you know.
I know Miss Lindsay, you probably want to hear all that, but let's just be honest, I'm listen. I'm sure Lindsay, I'm sure your husband want to put on the thong song every once in a while and he's sitting over here messing up y'all flow.
Not right.
That's probably what she like. Yeah, she's like, I want to get my freak on too. Get girl.
I know for a fact.
Get that boy out that house.
If I'm a betting man, I will bet somebody that the husband is really like, please get this child out my house.
I 100% agree.
And this boy is in his way.
Listen, he want to put on the Trey Songz and he want your neighbors to remember what time it is around here, Lindsay. I don't know. Lindsay probably listening to this show right now, blushing. I'm just trying to let you know, Lindsay, remember who you are. Get that boy out of that house. That boy out of that damn house. And listen, let him listen to this. Hey, sir, watch the movie Baby Boy. That is you. You are Jody. I ain't got nothing else on this one. I think that's a simple conversation. That's
All
a simple
right.
conversation.
It is your time to fly. Be
It is your
independent. Be
time. Yeah, that's
free.
right. You got 6 months.
All right.
For real. I should be able to stay here as long as I want. Man, please. Boy, boy, boy. Some people, man. Some people. Well, speaking of some people, and I feel like the DJ, we were just talking about this man on the last show, but yay. Now, the last time we were talking about the crazy shit he was saying on academics, that interview he had this time. Ye releases a song, Cousins, and he releases some shocking news to the world.
I just, once again, why do we still let this man speak in public and say things? Because I feel like every time it's like he can't say nothing more wild. I feel like he finds a way to top himself every time. I thought the last time listening to that interview was wild enough. Now we talk about doing stuff with your cousins. Like, I just, what? Like, do you know how confused I was when I, like, the first time I saw this stuff and, like, listened to the song? And I'm just sitting there just confused. Like, just, I really just looked up in the sky at God and was like, what are we doing? Like, you ever just feel like, I don't know how people believe. I believe in like alternate universes, and I'm like, we must be in like a doom timeline or something, because this don't make no sense. Because why is this the thing that gets attention? Like, what? Like, with your cousin? That, ugh, I, oh my God.
We'll give it some context, DJ. What exactly? What's the situation?
Okay, yeah. He is in the song pretty much, and then I guess like he tweeted and kind of like doubled down on that. But the song is pretty much implying that he was doing some romantical stuff with his cousins. In particular, he mentions giving head. I just, what in the actual fuck is going on? Like, just, like, what? I have no words. I just, I really just, like, that might be the first time in my life I listened to a song and I was just pure, just speechless. Like, I like listening to music. So I'm usually dancing or I'm listening, bobbing my head. I legit was just frozen, like, what am I listening to?
And this is the thing. He said he stumbled upon his dad's Playboy magazines, but he said the ones that his mom had were different. So he's applying that his mom was probably bisexual, right? But he said that him and his cousin, they used to look at the magazines together, and he said that they started doing things. So to DJ's point, Kanye basically said he sucked his cousin's dick till he was 14 years old. Now, I'm gonna say two things about this. In the black community, there's a stigma around homosexuality. And I think that there's a lot of people in our community that aren't accepting of that. So I think when he came out, there was a couple of things. That the incest that you talked about, I just feel like, bruh, he's just like every day is just something else that he's like doing. And I'm just like, bro, maybe you should have kept that one. Like I don't care that like if you were doing homosexual acts, but maybe I don't need to know that you were giving your cousin head.
Thank you.
But I
Like,
guess
that's the
it but I
part.
guess it explains why his jawline is so prominent though. But
No, you did just say Yeah, no, I do want to make clear, like, the homosexual part of the, LGBTQ part, that didn't bother me at all. It was the cousin part that I was like, oh, I was like, okay. Like, whoa. Like, I admit though, the thing you said about our people with homosexuality in that community, like there is definitely a stigma and a lot going on there that we as people need to figure out. I'll actually give you a fun example, Press. I just had that moment of like, ooh, I forgot about that. Like, I don't think about it sometimes. So, like with my grandmother as she passed, like I'm back home now helping clean out her apartment and stuff. And so one of like the older ladies at her church was like, oh, if you can give us some of her clothes, donate, that'd be nice. I'm like, all right, well, we got closets full and we gotta find stuff to do with this. So I remember I called her up, was like, hey, like, do you want some of this stuff? And so I, like, half joking, not even thinking about it, was like, well, we got all these clothes and like I'm wearing them. And she's like, well, that would be inappropriate. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how some people take that. Like, it caught me off guard, like in the moment, because I joke about everything, anything. I don't care, And also, like, I'm also like from the era. Like, I can't lie. I'm grown up in the time where like there's like the stigma is kind of like with older people. So to me, I don't see anything about it. Like, I don't think anything about it, But like, yeah, that old black lady, she was like, "Well, that's a pro." That's a, and I thought to myself like, "Oh, I was just kind of half joking. That was meant to you to laugh, not get mad." I was like, "Ooh, like I forgot what I was talking. I was talking to you for a second. Like I ooh, like, but like
Yeah,
to
like that generation, they don't play with that
no, they sure don't."
shit.
I learned that. I remembered that very quickly during that phone call. I was like, oh, this took a turn on accident. I should have made that joke.
She's like, I don't play like that.
She did not laugh. I was low key kind of pitch a joke to get her to laugh. She was like, "Well, that's enough." I'm like, "Ooh, wrong reaction. My bad. That's on me." I was on speaker. My mom's sitting behind me, just and she's trying to hold her laughing because she was like, "You forgot who you was talking to, didn't you?" I said, "I sure did. I sure did."
And she reminded your ass.
Yo, with the quickness.
But I do appreciate though that you shared that story because that's my silver lining from this whole Kanye thing. Because a lot of the jokes and stuff that were coming out from by people, I thought you guys aren't listening to the greater thing of this because this is not uncommon. There's so many people that I went to school with, and I probably shouldn't even share this, but I'm probably just gonna go ahead and say it because I'm not saying the person's by name. But one of my friends, him and his sister had a sexual relationship for 5 or 6 years. And he used to get pretty much roasted in school because out of our friend group, he never had a girlfriend, he never had a girl around, he just didn't have a lot of success. And so people would like poke fun and they'd be like, "Oh, you're a virgin," and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And then I remember one time we were on a retreat and he like pulled me to the side and he was like, "You know how like everybody always says that I'm a virgin and you know I never have girls and this and that." And he was like, "Well, I'm not a virgin." And I'm looking at him like, "Okay, I don't need to know this and that." And he's like, "No." He said, "But I want to tell you that the situation and the circumstances around it." And that's when he shared me. He was like, "I've been having sex with my sister since I was 13 years old." And he basically was like, his sister told him, "If you're gonna be out here in the streets doing stuff with girls, I need to make sure you know what you're doing." Now, that is the type of stuff that happens in certain homes. Now, I'm not saying all, but that stuff happens. And those situations get covered up. People don't address those situations. In his family, it was covered up. When he went to his mom and dad about it, they didn't want to hear it. And it's like, that is trauma, right? That friend has gone on and he's had some tough situations that he's had to work through in life. And he didn't have the support system to give him the resources that he needed in that time. So I'm hoping with Kanye, even though he did this song because it's just Kanye and he's just fucking, he's having a manic situation right now. But I hope that a silver lining of that is that there's someone out here right now that can relate to that situation. And I hope that they can at least realize that, like, hey, whatever situation you're involved in, whether you're doing it willingly or if somebody's forcing you to do something, I just hope that you can go find somebody in your life that you could talk to, that you could trust, and they can give you some guidance and they can help you figure that shit out, right? We shouldn't be doing things with family members, right? That's just, it's not right. It's not normal, but it happens way too often. And I think that when he brought this up, I was like, see, he's hitting on something that people want to sit here and act like it doesn't happen. Oh, it happens. It does.
I still would have kept that one to the chest though if I was him. I'm sorry. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either, but what I'm saying is I still think that there's some people out here that
Oh, for sure.
they might be able to benefit from that, right?
Oh, for sure.
They may be able to tell their story. Now, there's so many people that have secrets. They take that stuff and they internalize it, commit suicide or whatever the case may be. I don't want that for people. So if him being weird and doing what he did can get somebody to talk and get some help and or whatever the case may be, I'm good with it. Kanye is Kanye at the end of the day, right? We talk about
Fair.
that. We know who he is, right? At this
Right.
point, who knows the motivation behind him saying that? But what I'm just saying is I'm trying to take that out as a silver lining.
I respect that. Because that is a small win if anybody can, like a win in that, if someone else can see this as a way to get help. That is definitely a win in that book. I'll give you that.
Well, speaking of getting some help, your boy Shannon Sharp. Now, Monique tried to help this Negro. She told this man, DJ, she told him, stay away from them young bitches. He ain't listen. Now he got this 19/20-year-old OnlyFans chick out here setting him up, setting his ass up, recording phone calls. And Unc over there just saying wild shit because they were into wild shit together. Setting his ass up. sold him $50 million.
Whenever I hear someone way over my age fooling with someone who would be more believable with me than them, it's always just bad news. Always just bad news. And just for Shannon, it, like you said though, she tried to warn him. She tried. You probably should have listened because this is a bad look. It's a bad look for everybody involved. I ain't gonna lie. Especially him though. This is one of those where it just you know, it just doesn't do any good for his character. Because now there's reports of him stepping away from the Four Letter Network and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this is just the bad, this is a bad look for all your PR. And I mean, I'm always one
I
of those people,
mean,
I'm like,
you can't be doing that stuff when you work for Mickey Mouse, bro. You know.
no. Hey, shoot, that's a different conversation for a day. Working for the mouse, yeah, they mouse don't play.
Nah.
But it's just, yeah, it's just a bad look. And for me, I don't understand. I can never understand why people fool around with a whole bunch of people way younger than them. I can never understand that. I never can get my head wrapped around it. And what, like, I don't get it. I personally don't. And I just, like, why? Like, what good was coming from that? And then, like, OnlyFans, I feel like you had to know, like, what you were signing up for, sir. Like, you knew the trouble you were getting yourself into. And now he's
Oh, he knew. He was
like,
paying for it. That's how he
like,
met her.
come
He was
on
paying,
now. Like,
but he was
and
paying
now,
for it. He knew what
yes,
he was.
that's why
He
I'm
knew.
like,
Yeah,
and
he
here we
knew.
go. These allegations are not true. And I'm like, why? See, but like, why do that to yourself in the first place? Like, why? I'm a type of person, I understand. I'm the type of person who tries to plan 10 steps ahead. So maybe it's just me who's like, well, clearly this is not going to go well. So why even give myself the opportunity to put myself in that situation? But like, I don't care. To me, I don't care how good she was doing it or whatever she was doing. Why set yourself up for failure down the road? Like, you had to know as a famous person with money, any left turn, they was coming to get your pockets. Like, he had to know that.
So my problem with Shannon Sharp, and you remember DJ, there were some shows that we did last year, and I told you about Shannon. I told you.
Yeah.
And I said they're coming for him.
You called it.
Because I knew. With that country ass fucking tone, talking about, so I didn't do no with Joy Taylor, and you're gonna find my name and this and that. I'm like, okay. You sit over here taking a victory lap, bro, because you were a decent person. Great, slow clap. That shouldn't even have to be brought up.
Right.
You should be able to be around your female coworkers and not have to be worried about, oh, am I going to be coming up in this report? Like, come on, man. It's sick.
Yeah.
Now, this situation here, I don't know what the hell happened because I wasn't in that relationship. But what I will say is this: it takes two. And when I see a situation like this where they have this type of age gap, what the hell do you all even talk about? Like,
No,
that's an
literally.
honest question. Like, what do you even talk about? When I was listening to the recordings, the conversation sounded awkward as fuck because it's like, y'all don't relate to each other. The only thing that you are around for is for him to smash. That's it. But when I was reading some of her text messages, she wanted a black baby put in her. She didn't want him to use a condom. She wanted to be choked. She wanted all these different things, right? But then there's that call that's out there where she was talking about, you said you were gonna choke me. And the call sounded like she pieced two calls together, honestly. When that conversation, it didn't sound like a cohesive conversation. Like if you're listening to this show right now, the conversation is flowing. That conversation has some long gaps. I'm like sitting over here like, this ain't the same call, Shorty. Y'all playing games. Now, I will say this about Shannon. He offered her $10 million for her to go away. Why are we offering $10 million to somebody?
He guilty right there.
I'm maybe not guilty. Maybe it's just one of those situations where he wanted to go away quietly. But my whole thing
Fair.
is, I wouldn't offer that ass shit. I'm like, I would have done just like how Jay-Z did. You gonna try to come for me? Okay, here we go. You want to play? Here, let's go. Because of what that does is it shows the people that's out here that's looking for a quick come up and a quick payday. They're like, no, you can't just keep coming over here and trying to play with people's names and trying to embarrass them publicly and ruin their reputations for you to try to get a bag. No, you can't do that shit. And I appreciated Jay-Z for what he did because it kind of set the precedent for people pushing back and fighting back. Because when that whole Me Too movement came about, and trust me, I'm not sitting here saying that there was anything wrong with that. But what I did find that there was a lot of people that were being accused of things that they didn't do. And I feel like we gotta let situations play out. We also got to make sure that before we start casting judgment on the situation, that we get all the facts. And what this situation between the two of them sounded like is they were into wild sex with each other.
Wow.
And guess what? He could have crossed the line on one particular night. And it don't matter for 2 years if they were having wild sex together. If on that one night he did some shit that she didn't want him to do, then that's on Shannon and he gonna have to pay for that. It's no different than the Kobe Bryant situation when he was in Colorado and he was fucking that girl. And I guess she was cool with the one part, but then when Kobe wanted to put it in her ass, she didn't want that. And hey, I get you, Shorty. Whatever. But my point is, by saying this, is he should have listened to Monique when she told him to go get you somebody to love you. She told him to go get your old girl, one that could cook. She's like, one that's willing to rub your feet and will support you and all that kind of stuff. And not just worried about your bank account. She said, you don't need nobody that's 26 years old. I remember she said that shit, DJ. She said, you don't even need anybody 36 years old. She's like, take your old ass and get you an old ass bitch. She said, so she can love you old. That's wisdom right there. And he wasn't listening. He was
Nope.
chuck-chucking it and laughing and thinking shit was sweet. Well, look at you now. Look at you now. Even if this is a shakedown, you put yourself in this situation like DJ said. Now, I want to paint a broad brush because I don't think every girl that's out here on OnlyFans, if she, because think about it, DJ, these girls are out here. I see girls at these games when I'm covering the game, and I'm like, I know somebody, one of these athletes, some flew this girl out here. You know who they are, bro. They, come on. But my point is, there's a lot of guys out here, man, that they throwing bread to get at these girls, right? And so Shannon ain't doing nothing nobody else isn't doing. But the problem is, though, Shannon, as you 56 years old, and in my opinion, I think Shannon kind of lame. I kind of think that he's got no game. And she saw that, she knew that. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna get his ass. And she did. She got him.
56. Golly. What are we doing? I feel
Well,
like you're a
I mean,
little too old for that. Like,
yeah, but shit, what about Larsa Pippa?
was she another one where I'm like, I feel like you're too old to be playing these games. Like, I don't know. And I admit, that's the times I joke, like, the grandmother in me comes out where I'm like, I feel like you're a little too old to be playing these games. Like you said, the little athletes you see, when they do it, it's kind of like, all right, like, you young, you know what I mean? You're supposed to kind of do young, dumb stuff. But I'm like, you ain't you supposed to be mature and old? Like, ain't you supposed to be making grown folk decisions, not fooling around with young people doing dumb shit? Like, I just,
That man needs to act his age.
No, literally,
First and
like,
foremost. First and foremost. And that's what I'm saying. Monique was trying to tell him. That's the thing. He needs more people like that around him. And that's the problem. And I always talk about this with people that are rich and they get to a certain status. They have a bunch of yes people around them. They don't have people like that. It's like, hey man. Cause like for me, in my universe, and I'm sure it's the same thing with you, DJ. I still got day one friends, man. If they can see my blind spots and they'll pull me to the side. Be like, hey, prayers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, shit, all right, say less. Done. But you lose that when you have all this fame because you get to the point where you can't tell me nothing. What can you tell me? That's the ego, right? And when Monique was even in that moment trying to give him advice, I kind of felt even in that moment he was kind of giving her that, nah, I'm good. I don't need to listen to you.
Yeah, no, he definitely thought he was too good for that conversation. And
No, he did.
hey, what goes around comes around. Is that karma? Hey, he should have listened.
But there's been a lot of discourse, like people pushing back on his age and this and that. And I'm like, well, yeah, if we're gonna sit here and talk about his age difference, then we should be talking about Tracee Ellis Ross, who's gone on record and said that she prefers to date younger men. And she said that most of it is because she's trying to avoid toxic masculinity. However you dress it up, guess what? An older black dude in his 50s could say, I prefer women in her 20s, and he could try to find whatever excuse of why he does that. So my whole biggest thing is, we can't just sit over here and vilify Shannon for doing what he's doing when you got Larsa Pippen out here doing what she does. She's dating dudes on her son's basketball team.
Yeah, no, that's sick.
It's sick. And now Nicole Murphy, she getting her little shot at now. She messing with Marcus Jordan. And I'm sitting here like, first of all, y'all doing all this crazy shit and y'all attaching yourselves to these people's names. Get rid of Eddie's last name. Get rid of Scotty's last name and stop playing games. Go back to your damn maiden name, Larsa. Go back to the name that nobody fucking remember you by. Y'all here embarrassing Scotty. Well, Scotty embarrasses himself, but you ain't doing him no fucking favors.
That was what he was like. Well, but yeah, no, it definitely is one of those things where I kind of like the double standards thing we were saying last time. If you're gonna vilify one, get the other.
Yeah, get them all. But Shannon, you goofy, bro. You are straight goofy. Because even if you didn't do this, man, your reputation is cooked. And
Yeah.
also, too, DJ, think about this. Shannon got some shit in his past where it's women that have put restraining orders against him. He's got two charges of assault from a case in 95 and then another one in the 2000s. So Shannon got some shit out there.
Yeah. And like you said, working for the mouse, he's cooked.
Man, hell yes. Hey, you know what? I heard some shit about Shannon that pissed me off. His daughter's getting married, and Shannon was on his show talking about some, yeah, her budget is 30,000 and I'm cutting her off. I'm like, you
What?
just get, I was like, yeah, but you was getting ready to give this chick $10 million. She
Like
walked away.
what?
But you
That's
put the cap
sick.
on your daughter's wedding?
How you not gonna take your own family first before you paying off little girls to be messing with you.
That shows you the type of guy he is. I've been listening to the audience. They've been like, man, Prez, I don't know what you, they be like, man, you got some wish in it. I'm like, I ain't got nothing against him or Stephen A. Smith. I'm just telling you, I call situations as I see them. And I noticed too with this one, Stephen A. Smith didn't put a lot of support behind Shannon when this shit came
He
out.
shouldn't. They moved that show right on without him. Like
Didn't they?
he was Lakers in five. Lakers got eliminated. He just happened, and they just moved right on like he wasn't even there. That's sick work.
Tell you, man, ain't no loyalty in this game. Shit.
No, not at all.
And a part of me, I'm gonna get into some with y'all real quick, audience. I want y'all to think about this for a second. That Shannon Sharp was over there with Skip for a little while, raised his profile. Him and Skip parted ways. Shannon built his stuff on the side, did a really hell of a job, man, with his platform over there. We'll give him props on that. But you know, Stephen A. Smith is looking at that shit on the side and looking like he coming for me. He coming from the throne. So then he brings him over there on his show. But meanwhile, now Shannon got this $100 million deal that's on the table for all of his what he's doing outside of First Take. And you don't think Stephen A. Smith felt the way about that? Come on now. Y'all know how Stephen A. Smith roll. And now that all this shit's happening, and Stephen A. Smith probably sitting over there. He probably right now trying to figure out a way how he could posture and get himself in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a long time with people, everybody always has an agenda. And this is one of
Well,
those.
I wouldn't say everybody, but you know what, DJ? You damn right about them folks.
Yeah, that was a broad brush. I'll take that back. But like, there's definitely a lot of people, I'd say, who definitely will operate on their own agenda. And if you're not helping that agenda, they will, with the quickness, like the moment that you're not being useful, you don't want nothing to do with you.
I mean, that's kind of what I think about Jordan Hudson, the chick that's out here
Oh,
with Bill
jeez.
Belichick that's ruining that man's legacy,
Oh.
DJ. I mean, that situation is crazy. When I heard that Hard Knocks and HBO, like they pulled the plug on North Carolina and they cited her as the reason, and I'm like, why is she anywhere involved in this project?
No way. Once again, though, this is another one of those situations where I'm like, why are you fooling around with someone? Once again, as and that's the thing. I like when I first all this came out. You know, as a Patriots fan, it like all over my timeline. Anytime his name pop up, and I'm just like, you know, when you sir are 70 something years old, and technically I'm more believable to be with your girlfriend than you. That's disgusting. I'm 21. Why she is 24? Like, what are you doing? And now like you said she, like the downfall of Bill Belichick needs to be studied. genuinely studied. Because like this man went from a Super winning coach to now he literally went from that, like he went backwards down the chain to a college program. And now it's like you're letting this little girl just mess up everything. Because I know you saw that little CBS interview or whatever when they were asking about how they met and she was interrupting the interview. And I was like, okay, like you're not supposed to be yelling while you're sitting there. Like interrupt. It's just the whole thing. And like you said,
Right,
just
and I'm like,
ruin.
why is she sitting there? It's just like
Well, that
the,
too.
it's like the, and that's like the Travis Hunter situation. Like, why y'all got these people in these positions? Like, she got no reason to be here. And I'm so glad that at the draft, Travis, I was peeping it too because I was over in that green one there and I was looking at her and the way she was, how she was acting. Yeah, she cooperated. She acted like she had some damn sense this time around. So somebody talked to
Thank
her.
goodness.
Yeah. But my point to you about this Jordan Hudson is, what is going on with Bill Belichick, bro? When I thought of Bill Belichick, he seemed like a no nonsense, I don't take shit type of guy. But he unfolded here, bro.
Like that's what I mean. Like the fall has to be studied. Like we literally from you went from winning Super Bowls to just like a complete opposite character. And I'm like, what happened to you? Like you said, he went no nonsense. There was never no drama, no nothing coming out of New England. Like the most controversial thing we ever had happen was Aaron Hernandez. Like once that even went by though, like besides the Flate Gate and the Spy Gates, like there was really no drama that came out of New England. And now this UNC run has been nothing but filled with drama. I mean, it was so bad. I remember when I covered the Fenway Bowl, and they were up here. They were like, "We're not fielding any questions about Belichick." Like, and I'm like, when did he become one of those people at a media circus on these shows and all these interviews? And I'm like, that's not the same person I was coaching the Patriots all those years. And this little girl, like, she is full blown just inciting more mess. Like you said, the whole HBO thing getting pulled and. Now, like this interviews, like it's like he's turning into like it's almost like he's like unmaturing in a weird way. Like it's almost like he's going backwards, like down the scale. Like usually, like as you get older, you're supposed to get like more mature and like kind of be more like almost like no not like almost like no nonsense and like more put together. And it's like he's kind of losing his marbles like as it's going on. And I'm very confused.
And one of the things that I was thinking about this situation is one point here. You talked about the CBS episode where they showed the clip of her interjecting, and we're not talking about that when it came time to dig into fact of how their relationship started. That's an innocent question, right? If you meet any sort of young couple, you'd be like, hey, how'd you guys meet? The fact of the matter is she didn't want to discuss that shows you that situation and how it started. Yeah. I mean, that's right there. See, the thing is, there's ways to handle situations and you keep it moving. But when you respond and react like that, that's just what it gives people shit to talk about. But my whole thing is this. She's out here wearing his Super Bowl rings. They said she's out here wearing Super Bowl jerseys and shit. What is she doing?
I think she's waiting for him to die and take his estate. That's the only thing I could think about. Because I don't know. I have no other real question or answer for why else. I genuinely don't. That's my theory.
I'm just saying, dude, she's too involved in the business side of things. And
No, literally.
the school even said that Bill Belichick was the one that requested for Hard Knocks
And she done ruined that for him.
and ruined it.
I
And
also.
that would have been a tremendous opportunity because nobody talks about North Carolina football.
Right.
That
They're a
would have been a
basketball
tremendous
school.
opportunity. And again, and think about this, now North Carolina basketball is getting to the point where nobody's talking about North Carolina basketball.
Shoot.
So Bill Belichick was kind of putting the Tar Heels back on the map, which is crazy to say.
I also read something that said, like, she wants to be like Belichick's requesting her to be CC'd on emails and stuff. And I'm like,
Right.
what?
Yep.
I was like, what do you mean, CC? Like, who do you think you are? Like,
My shorty. Come on now.
you are not the main character here. What are we
No,
doing?
you are not. Go to yoga class and leave that man alone.
Like, because what are we doing? Like,
But it's just like the Shannon situation, man. And not to say that somebody's got to look a certain way for a situation to be worth it, but when I saw what that girl that Shannon was messing with, what she looked like, and then I'm looking at this Jordan Hudson girl, and I'm like, okay, yeah, she's young, right? If I was 60 and I don't know, whatever my situation was in life, and I was with somebody that was cute, that'd be great. That's a win for press. What this girl's doing? Come on, man. Ain't nobody that damn good looking that they can get away with this shit. You over here ruining this man's reputation, dude.
he said ain't nobody that good looking.
No. No, man, he's like becoming a laughing stock now.
No, he is. No, he definitely is. Like, that's what I mean. Like, the fall off has to be studied. Like, there was a time when they were trying to say he was more responsible for this dynasty than Brady. And like, think about how their lives have just gone off in two different directions since they've split. It's like he's just getting wet. It's almost like his life is just getting worse. And like, I wouldn't argue Brady's getting like better per se, but like, Brady looks amazing compared to this mess. I mean, because golly.
Well, Brady did lose his woman, and
Yeah, so
yeah,
there's been some ups and downs with Tom, but like,
yeah,
but
but you know,
compared to Bill,
but Brady's still the GOAT.
yeah. But like, yeah, he went from literally like winning the Super Bowl to getting fired to now all this mess. Like, and that's the thing too. Like you said, he was about to put the Tigers back on the map, and now he's like making that a laughing stock. And like you said, they weren't known for football already, and now it's just gonna be almost like a media circus that's gonna fail. And now, like, if they don't succeed as a program, it's gonna make it even worse. And right now, the way this little girl acting, it's not like it's gonna make it any better for him. Like, and it's just not a good look.
No, it's not at all. Audience, as we said in the open, we're gonna pull back the curtain on tipping culture here in the US. And I thought this would be a really good episode because I've been having like conversations with like friend groups of mine, and we've gone out and we'll be out, and certain things will kind of trigger me and kind of like make me feel a kind of way, right? And so I know that this is like a complex issue, right? Because when you go to places, right, gratuities are expected for many different service settings. And often it's at the discretion of the customer. To me, I feel like tipping is intended to be like a reward for good service. I kind of feel like as DJ has become one of those social norms where it leads to kind of like pressure and debates about fairness, right? Of how much and what's considered a good tip. And so my biggest thing here is I've traveled a lot, right? So I've been in the UK, I've been in Greece, you know, I've been in a lot of different places. Australia. And when you go to a lot of these places outside of the US, DJ, they don't have that tipping culture. I remember when I was in Greece and I was at a restaurant and I thought the server was amazing. And the bill came and I put my credit card in there and it came back. There was no thing for gratuity. So I just threw like $10 and I put it in the bill fold. He literally, as I was leaving out, like chased us down and was like, hey, you left something in your billfold. I was like, oh, that's for you. And he's like, no, I can't take that. He said, I'm just doing my job. And I said, well, just wanted to, you know, give that to you because you did a really good job. He said, no, it's not necessary. He said, my boss pays me a fair wage.
Ooh.
And I then thought about that and I said, that says a lot about this country. Meaning the US, because you got people, these owners of these places that don't pay their people a fair wage, and these owners are passing the buck down to the consumer, and it's like the consumer is responsible for making sure that that person has a livable wage.
My dad used to wait tables. So like as a kid, he kind of always probably like compared to most people, probably over tipped, but also he's like, I remember what it was like and how hard it was trying. So like I definitely inherited that from him. And I like know that where like people, cause especially like a couple times I've gone out with friends and stuff and like we're all sitting there eating. And I also know there's stigmas to who tips and how they tip. So like they see a bunch of, young black kids at a table and they're like, oh, like I'm gonna do all this and they're gonna treat me like shit. And like I can tell by the vibe of their service a little bit. And I always kind of tend to try to like almost like over tip, like just to not like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna treat you like shit, even though you did it to me. And but like you said though, I think you make a very good point where like a lot of this is just in the wages of this country, how this country is run, where now it's like it's almost like the person who's eating is like, now it's my duty to pay you. When it's like that should be them people. Cause I'll be honest, when it comes to tipping, in restaurant sitting down, I have no problem with it. When delivering the food, I'm kind of like, okay. There's sometimes though where it's like, what am I tipping you for? Like, no disrespect. No, because like you ever gone somewhere and like did the mobile board where you got to pick it up yourself and then you want a tip? And I'm like, what am I tipping? It's like, I remember, I think I ordered something. I picked it up from like a pizza place when I was still back in Maryland. And I never forget, it was like, oh, do you want a tip? And I was like, you here working. Like, you didn't leave. I had the one who made all the travel. Like, what? What?
Yeah, all you did was grab it off the counter and handed it
No,
to
literally. Like, I was like, are we
him.
kidding? Like, what? So there's definitely like a part of it where it's like they kind of the way also like as more the more I see it, and it's like especially in this day and age when people are not eating out as much and the door dashing and all that, and it's definitely like there's definitely a bit of there's a part of it that is like it's getting worse. I feel like as a kid, maybe it's just me as a kid, but I feel like it never was this bad. Now I'm like getting older, I'm like, yo, this is getting a little out of hand because like he's and especially like the wages that they get, people who are like waiting tables and stuff compared to like. I'm like, yeah, this is compared to like regular workers and other jobs. I'm like, yeah, this is ridiculous. Like, this is bad. And so, like, my when it comes to me and tipping, I just like I always tend to over tip, but that's because I just from talking to my dad, I know what it's like for those people. So I try to be nice and you know, try to like, you know, do them like do them a solid kind of thing. Cause I think if I was them, I'd hope that someone would do that for me. But it's still one of those things where it's like, why am I having to do this for you and not you? Like you said, like, why is it us, not the owner?
So one of the things that I think about when I think about tipping is I always try to understand history, right? And the historical context of tipping in the US is rooted back to post-Civil War times. And a lot of people don't know this, but tipping was used during those times to avoid paying wages to formerly enslaved workers. So for me, it adds a little bit to the complex and often uncomfortable nature to me of what tipping has become. Because to me, it's almost like it's begging.
It does
And
get, yeah.
to me, it also kind of feels that if I do a good job, if you decide that you're going to tip me for that job, great. If you decide that you don't, whatever. That's my mentality on it. But I've seen literally situations where I've been out to dinner and I've seen a server chase someone out of the restaurant saying, "Hey, was there a problem with the service? And I did everything that you wanted. You left me a 10% tip, and I did way better service than the 10% tip." So I'm looking at that kind of stuff, and I'm like, "There's that entitlement." Yeah, you know what? To your point, DJ, your dad was a server, but guess what? If somebody gave him a lousy tip, I'm sure he wasn't chasing them out of the restaurant.
Oh no.
But my point is, a tip isn't something that is something that you should sit here and bank off of. So just because you got a party of five in my group and you run up the bill on us, you start trying to get us to get drinks, so you get us to get appetizers, you get us to get the desserts, you know how they run that shit up on
Oh
you.
yeah.
And sometimes they do it to themselves. Sometimes if you have a party of five, they just automatically put the 18. I'm like, what if I was gonna give you more? You capped yourself. And that's one of those situations where I don't like when they do the mandatory gratuity. Don't tell me what the tip.
I don't like it either because I tend to overtip. So when they do that sometimes, I'm like, all right, well, you did it to yourself.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, fuck it. That's enjoy.
I remember the especially when you said the running up thing. I remember a time when I was in like high school my senior year, and we used to have like this little tournament in school. And I remember I took my little team out, like just like the little group I had in my team. Like I took them out to eat just for like a you know like as a th we had some fun. We were a cool little group. It's like a little fun like in-house basketball tournament, and we went to Applebee's or whatever. And I remember like one of the kids, he was like freshman or whatever. Like and you could tell one of those things also like with just etiquette of kids was like okay, clearly you could tell you ain't been out, no, not to be disrespectful because he was playing the little games on the little thing and ran up a $3 bill playing word searches on me, and I was like, all right, dog. Like, but I remember like when I was done, like. That you could also tell like that the stigma of black people not tipping is a thing and I don't appreciate it because as a young black man who goes out to eat sometimes they definitely give me a side eye thinking I'm not going to tip them that well but they don't know me so they kind of the services sometimes with me tends to be a little shitty and then they will do something like oh and they put the little thing in there and crazy part was I tend to go 20 to 25 I'm a little gracious but I are kind of but you already know why I've explained that.
Right.
She put thing at 15. I said, "Well, you low key fucked yourself over." And I was like, "You know what? Like, all right, whatever. I'm not gonna fight you." Because I was like, "You know what? Whatever." But it's kind of like that culture, and I'm like it's definitely something that needs work, as does much of this country, of course. But like, I feel like that stigma that's something that really gets under my. I was gonna say like, yeah, it just gets under my skin because it's like, you have no clue who I am, or what I'm gonna do, or how much money I got in my pocket, and like. Press, you see me. You see me for the most part at the like. You kind of see me in like a space. So like, but I kind of I don't be dressing like I have nothing to me. Like I can't lie. Like I sweater and sweatpants everywhere I go. Like the most thing that'll give me away about like who I am or anything might be a Howard sweater. But if I don't have that on, like you can't tell. And I'm like, so are you trying to prejudge me because I've got sweatpants on, chilling with my friends, and now you're like, oh, like, he's not gonna tip well, and you haven't met me, talked to me, nothing, not even taking my order, no drinks, like. That's on you, because I'm like that's stigma. Where now you're also being judgmental and trying to like gauge how hard you should work. I'm like you should be doing your job and not have to worry about that. So like there's two sides to that too, because like they should be getting paid and not have to be worrying about that. But then like you don't get to treat me like shit just because you think I'm not gonna tip well. Like I don't like that.
Yeah, and you know what? You brought up a point that I really agreed with when you talked about like when you go pick up your order and they slide the little kiosk thing to you and it already has it set up and it's prompting a tip, right? And you're just like, that right there is pressure, right? Because then you look like an asshole when you're just like zero or
Right.
no tip, right? Because then I see them, they look some kind of way about that. And I'm just like, listen, I'm doing more of the work because not only did I drive here, but I'm paying for my food.
Like
It's not
what?
it's because it's not like you DoorDashed it right where somebody went to go pick it up. Then at that point, I feel like you should tip because that person spent gas, they spent effort, whatever, you know. But just you going and grabbing something off of a counter and get handing it to me, you don't get a tip for that. You didn't do anything. And my point also is there's sometimes where people they just assume, well, I'm getting a tip anyway, so their service isn't on point. And I feel like tips, you shouldn't put a 18% gratuity on a party just because it's five or six people. Because then that just like sets the precedent that the server could just be lousy. They could mess up, fuck up all these type of things, and there's no consequences for it. That's one of my problems that I have. But the bigger problem that I have is the reason why I told the story about being in Greece and the UK. If you talk to anybody that's from the UK, they'll tell you, they're like, you Americans come over here and mess it up because you guys come over here and you start tipping. They're like, knock that shit off. We don't do that over here. For real. When I was over there for the Bears game in October, I was at this bar and I threw a $10 bill on the thing. I was getting glares. And I was like, what? And they're like, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, well, I just wanted to. And they're like, no, you don't have to do that. And then that's when the bartender told me, he was like, yeah, no. Then he said they pay me well. And it's the same thing that the guy said in Greece. And I'm like, man, it's a flex. These motherfucking bartenders out here, like, shit, no, I'm good. I'm making good money over here. I'm like, well, shit, God bless you. Shit,
Right.
good for you.
Good shit. That's
You know
crazy
what?
to think about.
You know what the new one that they do now? And it kind of makes you, it puts you on the spot. They're
What?
like, do you want to round up to donate to this
Yes.
charity?
I wasn't going to bring it up. I was not going to bring it up. But oh my gosh, the pressure, because it's always so bad. Like that stresses me out. Because it's always like, because like when it's just tipping, just a regular tip. It does not feel like a little bit of pressure for me, but then when they put a charity on it or something, like I'm like that, because then like oh, I always like the ones of course for me when they like mention something about a Boys and Girls Club or working with children, like I did that, so now I'm like oh, now there's like a little bit of nostalgia in my heart, like especially when I'm in like at school and I'd be in like Target or something somewhere. Now this is back before we boycotted, by the way. Let me make that clear before
There you
y'all try.
go. So,
I
yeah,
was like,
I was gonna say,
hold
I'm
on.
like, I ain't trying to get us canceled.
Hold
I'm
on
like,
now. This,
yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. But like, and I'd be there and they're like, oh, would you like to round up for the Boys and Girls of America? And I'm just sitting there like, Like, I'm like, y'all trying to get me. Cause I'm like, see, cause now I feel like I look like a dick if I'm like, no, let me keep my 15 cents to myself. But now it's like the pressure like of tip. I don't like that. Cause it's like I feel like it should be you would want me to do it. Like it should be like a like you said, it should be something that you decide to do, but don't have to be pressured into doing. But I'm like, that rounding up change thing, because it's everywhere now. And I'm just like, just let me buy my stuff and get out of here, please. Like
So what do you think the solution is besides obviously these companies not pushing the burden on us and actually paying their people a decent wage, but what's the alternative? Like what do you think is a good like I guess compromise on this?
And that's kind of like that's where I, yeah, that's something that like take I have to like really sit here and think about, because like, of course, like you said, the first obvious option is pay your people, like when it comes to that. But even when it comes to like, it's just a culture change that needs to be done. Like you said, in other countries, we're not doing that. We're not forcing the donations and having to, fight for everybody's dollar. And it's that part of our culture that is just like, we need to fix that. But now, I don't have the expertise or experience to try to find, I don't have a good, well, here's how we change our entire culture. Like, I can only suggest, yeah, we need to stop shoving everybody down everybody's throats, that you need to tip everybody and all the forced donations. Like, it should be something you do at the kindness of your heart, not like you have to chase me down to. I'm trying to think of what would be the steps to how do you change a culture, in a sense, besides as a people in this country, this idea of you're forcing people to tip, like you said, the people when it's like, I drove here and I did all this and now you're just gonna hand it to me and be like, oh, you're not gonna give me a dollar. We gotta stop stuff like that. Cause oh, I just there's something about that too, that this I feel like causes divisiveness in this country that's already bad enough on its own with everything else going on. And now it's like, well, you wanna give me a side eye and be mad at me. When I'm like, just because how society's kind of teaching you that I have to now give you money for doing your job, we need to fix that in a way. And it's, I feel like putting a law in place is like a little extreme, of course, but something of like a we need to, as a people, just change this idea that like the consumer has to be paying you when the people at the company's the ones that's supposed to be paying you, and that's like that stigma. Like we need to get rid of that somehow.
I think now this is probably something that you're gonna be like, damn, that's a wild concept. But I think some sort of profit sharing that the business can do with their employees, I think that's fair. I've worked at companies that did profit sharing with its employees. They've offered us stock grants and incentives, and they would basically give back to their employees. And I think that's one way to have loyalty with your people is when you take care of them. I think that could be one way. And then think about it like this, DJ. It gives the employee a sense of ownership. They feel like, oh, they're bought in. I think that could be one thing.
I like that. I like actually that's a great one, because like you said, especially when you're giving them some profits and part of the stocks, and yeah, because now it's if we win, I win kind of thing, and that makes the incentive part, the motivation behind it. I like that idea.
Because I know it's something that a lot of these business owners aren't willing to do because
Well, yeah, of
they're cheap
course.
and they're greedy, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's one thing. But I also think that a lot of these restaurants, I mean, you even see it on DoorDash where they do the service charge, right? That could be another way, because then that money could then go to a pool of money that you can then pay back to the staff. And the service charge or the service fee could be less than what it would be to tip, right? I think that's one way, another way. But I think the profit sharing, I think that would be huge.
Yeah, that would definitely be real huge. That I do like that idea. I think that actually is a really good alternative. But just as I said, as long as we get rid of that stigma, I see it as a win, because that's something that's definitely got to change.
Yeah, man, because this is. I have so many problems with things that are going on in this country right now. We don't have enough time on this show for me to dive into that.
No, right.
But one of the biggest things that I feel like is there's just a responsibility that a lot of these CEOs and the people at the top of the food chain, they just don't do right by their people.
Not at all.
And it is not my responsibility to make sure that your people have a livable wage, as I said earlier. That is your responsibility because you employ those people. I'm coming here. I'm already patronizing your business. I'm already giving this business money. Now I got to pay your employee as well. No, fuck that. Uh-uh. No. Because I ain't gonna lie to you, DJ. There's been times I'm petty. I've ordered from a delivery service. I keep giving them free advertising, my name in these things. Y'all got it early for free. But I've used a delivery service in the past. And you know how you put your instructions in there? It's go to this address, drop it here. Boom, because I ain't trying to meet with you. I ain't trying to have no conversation with you. Drop my food off and keep it moving. So,
Real.
yeah, but then these folks, bro, they be putting this shit in the wrong space. So they literally put my meal one time. This is when I was traveling somewhere for work. So I'm not even familiar with the area. They dropped my shit all across the street in front of somebody else's house. By the time I figured it out, the person where they dropped it off, they took my food and went in the house and ate it. So now I'm sitting over here like that. So I ain't got no food. I ain't about to go over here and try to fight somebody over no damn $10 worth of food. I'm just gonna go here and I'm reducing that tip to nothing, and I'm gonna make sure that they give me a refund. That's what I was on. I'm like, you don't get no tip for dropping my food off to somebody else.
No,
So
right.
then, but check it out. The person came back, bruh. They learned the real house this time, put a note on my house. Yeah. Oh yeah, true story.
That's insane work.
Oh yeah. It don't work. You know what? I think they deactivated them off of that app because when I got through making phone calls and sending emails, this service gave me $100 a credit. And then told me that they was on deactivate because, bro, I went full Karen mode. I was like, I don't feel safe. I got people driving back to my house and leaving notes. Bro, I wasn't worried about him, but they know that. And I got to look over my shoulder and worry about somebody gonna run up on me because he's mad. Oh yeah, I was playing that shit up. But anyway, my point of saying that is you ain't entitled to anything in this world. I'm not entitled to anything. DJ's not entitled to anything. But guess what? Whatever it is that we do get out here, it's stuff that we earn. And we not ask for anything, even for you guys. We have to earn your support on this show. We have to earn your listen. We don't beg people. You don't never hear me say, leave me a 5-star review. And no, I'm not doing all that.
No.
I'm not asking you to like, follow, subscribe. I'm not asking you to do any of that. We never ask people to subscribe to our Patreon. We have to earn that. And you're
Nope.
gonna do that because you want to support. And if you don't, think let's listen for free. I'm not tripping. So my biggest thing is, I feel like other people in this world, I understand it's tough out here. And I understand, hey, those wages are tough. Like DJ mentioned with his pops. I get it. But however, if you want to be paid top dollar, you gotta be willing to sacrifice. You gotta be willing to put in the effort that's necessary to earn that tip.
Yep.
Just like we've earned all you guys' listens. DJ, gonna hit him with that curtain call, bruh.
All right, everybody. This curtain call goes out to Deion Dawson. Dawson founded Deion Chicago Dream, which was a way to improve health outcomes and health equity in the inner city. Dawson's initiative has expanded into a nonprofit social enterprise that champions workforce development and the stabilization of food quality. You know, I'm not one to ever knock anybody who's doing stuff for the community. So to Mr. Dawson, like kudos to you and all you're doing for the inner city. I mean, as an inner city kid, that always means a lot when people are helping out. So just kudos to you, man.
Yeah, and hey, DJ, thanks for that curtain call. And audience, if you guys remember on season two of this show, we did a couple of different series of episodes. We did one on food deserts in the inner city. And then we also did one on like healthier type of lifestyle and how hard it is to find those type of health conscious type of meals in the inner city. So one of the things that Mr. Dawson is trying to do is he's trying to bridge that gap. So again, DJ, great curtain call. Audience, as always, we appreciate you guys and your continued support of our platform. As we always say, without you, we wouldn't be. We're the Pulling Back the Curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.